are on consent, so we are going in sign-on order, and I see Member Santiago here. So if you want to come up to the dais here, and that's item number 3, AB 83. Again, I'll welcome everyone here. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If the Chair wishes, I could be brief.
Brevity is always appreciated.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since you moved this bill last year, AB 83, the Judicial Council Employee Relations Act, would establish the right for Judicial Council employees to be represented by a union should they decide to be represented by a union. The recent amendments we have taken are a result of collaboration between Judicial Council, SEIU 1000, the Governor's Office. We understood his veto message last year and looked to address it in this bill. We have one witness who will also be brief, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. And I just want to make note that we are starting as a subcommittee until we get a quorum. Welcome.
Afternoon, Chairman, committee members. My name is Tamika Robinson, Vice President of SEIU Local 1000. Like the assembly member said, we've seen this bill before. We listened to the governor's veto message. We made amendments to address his concerns in the previous bill. The Judicial Council employees reached out to us to have a union represent them. And so this bill will allow us to start that process as well as moving on a parallel track through PERB, collecting signatures from the employees. So we respectfully ask your support for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Other witnesses in support.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and Senators. Joshua Golka with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also in support.
Seeing other witness support, any witnesses in opposition? Seeing none, questions from committee members? Oh, okay, Senator Morlock.
So I can push my button. Senator Santiago, I'm just curious, are these, when I was at the county as a supervisor, we would have unrepresented employees, like, say, the management team of the sheriff's department, but we would still meet with them informally. They'd have, like, a representative or a leader. We talk informally, supervisor to to management. Is that how this is going right now for these at-will employees?
Well, I would say there's a managerial portion of it, and then there's what I would consider for the for this purposes of this conversation, rank-and-file employees. Now, in terms of how wages are set, you know, I'll let one of the representatives here who has dealt with the employer group maybe speak to that a little bit more. But the, one of the reasons for pursuing this is should the employer groups decide to become a union, then they would be able to collectively bargain with a particular entity. In this case, the Judicial Council Employer-Employee Act, and it would actually make it a little bit easier in terms of set. Standard wages, whatever benefits both parties agree on, and set forth normal established patterns to negotiate.
So I'm showing in my briefing that it could increase costs, and I'm just curious. My observations are that the governor just doesn't seem to like judges. I'm just kind of see like he's always picking on the judicial side. So I'm just wondering, you know, how is he going to feel this time?
Well, there's a certain number of employees who would be exempt from this particular bill, and I think if I remember correctly, it's probably close to about one third. So I don't think it would affect maybe the supervisors and managerial portions of it, because certainly they couldn't negotiate with themselves over a wage. As to the governor and his feelings about judges, I don't know.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Why don't we go ahead and establish a quorum? Secretary, can you please call the roll?
Pan.
Here.
Pan present. Morrell. Leva. Morlock.
Present.
Morlock present. Portantino.
Here.
Portantino present.
Okay, we have a quorum. Okay, other questions from committee members? Bill? Okay. First of all, I just want to thank you, Senator Santiago, for bringing this bill back. I think it's important that workers. Including our state workers, including those working in our in the judiciary branch, have the opportunity to collectively bargain and to have their rights. And so with that, I'm certainly proud to represent, to recommend an aye vote on the bill. Do you wish to close?
I respectfully ask for aye vote, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for letting me present.
Thank you. All right. Secretary, has it been moved? Any motion?
I'll move the bill.
Okay. The bill's been moved. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is do pass and re-refer to Senate Judiciary Committee. Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye. Morrell. Leva. Morlock.
No.
Morlock, no. Portantino.
Aye.
Portantino, aye.
Okay, We'll hold that bill on call. So a couple more members.
Thank you.
And Sergeant, can you, if you haven't done already, notify the authors of the remaining bills. Actually, you're here. You want me to go ahead and present SCA 1? That's okay. Well, usually we have committee members of that in the absence of the other authors. Why don't you go ahead and present? No, please. You're here. They're not. So.
Let's move this train along.
Well, yes, exactly.
I'm here to help. I'm with the government.
Come, Senator Morlock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The state of California is venturing out into uncharted territory, along with a handful of other states, to provide an employer payroll withholding scheme to provide a defined contribution retirement plan for employees within the state whose employer currently does not provide a retirement plan. So this endeavor will create two concerns that may impact every taxpayer. The first is the expense of administering the program. There are costs to run a bank or a mutual fund, and those costs are usually paid out of the investment earnings and are referred to as an expense ratio, or maybe overhead, or defined by basis points. So it is hoped that the investment returns, less the cost of state staffing, space rental, computer costs, printing, website maintenance, and customer service, are a minor amount compared to the yields earned on the funds under management. I ran a portfolio, a cash equivalent fund for the County of Orange, and we managed about up to sometimes $7 billion, but we would charge about 10 to 15 basis points, which were our costs for managing those funds. So the second concern is the potential for investment losses from economic downturns. That's the joy of having a defined contribution plan. You get what you get when the investments are earned, and sometimes the stock market giveth and sometimes it taketh away. Right now it's giving, but for a while, as CalPERS knows, it's pretty flat. But there's a downside to losses, and in this case, as the risk of the investments will be borne by the participants, we have something new to be concerned about, because these participants will also be constituents. And when these constituents have losses, they will contact their elected officials and they will say, hey, wait a second, I put my money with the state, I lost money, you got to make me whole or whatever. And long after we're gone, Mr. Chair, long after the author of Senate Bill 1234 is gone, someone's going to say, we better do a bill to make these individuals whole. And that's why we have this Senate constitutional amendment before you today, SCA 1. So SCA 1 is designed to prohibit such legislation. I believe Secure Choice is a noble but bureaucratic methodology of providing retirement plans, but it should be a service alternative, not an exposure for the state to a potential liability. So this should be made very clear. As we are told, when we invest, past performance does not indicate future earnings, so buyer beware. Doing this SCA provides three significant things. The first is that it promotes secure choice. You will have a ballot measure that tells everybody that you can invest in secure choice if your employer doesn't provide a pension plan. That's $1 million of free advertising to the marketplace. It will also help inform all the employers that may be impacted. This is really a great opportunity to promote this tool. And in fact, it comes in 2018, right before Secure Choice becomes effective in 2019. The second is that the voters will also learn that it's a government program that is not being subsidized. Thirdly, this program will not be a burden on the state's budget and will not be a cause for either more tax increases or budget cuts or maybe even state employee layoffs. So, colleagues, SCA 1 introduces Secure Choice for what it is and memorializes that it is a standalone state department that is self-funded, independent, and not an entitlement subject to taxpayer backfilling. So let's assure the voters up front and obtain their buy-in on this initiative, and I urge and I vote.
Okay, thank you. Any witnesses, other witnesses in support? Okay, witnesses in opposition? Someone wants to testify up at the table first. Okay.
Good afternoon again. Tamika Robinson, SEIU Local 1000, and I stand in strong opposition to SCA One, we feel like it's duplicative of the bill SB 1234. There are currently 7 million Californians that don't have access to a path to retirement, and this SB 1234 gives them a powerful tool that will allow them the opportunity to retire with dignity, and we believe this is just duplicative work, and so we ask for a no vote. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, Terry Brennan on behalf of SEIU California. We're opposed to this bill for many reasons mentioned by Ms. Robinson, but I would also add that putting this on the ballot is going to be anything but free advertising and promotion to the California public. It's going to be a very costly election for no reason. There's already protections in the legislation to make sure that it's independent and there is no general fund impact to the state of California. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Christy Baum on behalf of the California Professional Firefighters, also in opposition to the measure. And I agree with the previous comments, and my only addition is that I'm sure that the author or others will have all kinds of campaign-related materials should the legislature or a future governor decide to tap the general fund, just as we had lots of fodder when previous governors decided to steal the money of pensioners by raiding the public employment retirement fund. So I think that this is seeking a problem. We need to wait until something like that actually arises and rely on the statute that's in place now. We urge your opposition.
Scott Sadler on behalf of the California Association of Nonprofits opposed.
Ryan Sherman on behalf of the Riverside Sheriff Association, also unopposed. Thank you.
Joshua Golka with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees in opposition.
Jim Gross on behalf of AARP in opposition.
Right. Questions from committee members? No? All right. So it's just one brief question. I appreciate your testimony for this SCA. However, I just want to clarify that the language in your amendment really is a repetition of what's already in statute, but you just want to make it put in the Constitution. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I mean, I think, as it was noted by, I think any of us who've seen the initiative process, even if we pass it as a legislature, there's still an expense associated with running the appropriate campaign. I appreciate your statements about the opportunity to publicize this, but I think a political campaign for an amendment may not always be the most efficient way to publicize with the same resources. So I think for that reason, I think that, unfortunately, I'm not able to support this today. So, do you wish to close?
I would like to close. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, the language for SCA 1, it comes literally from SB 1234. Next year will be our President Pro Tem's last year as a senator. He'll be termed out, but it gives him a chance to promote and encourage those of our voters to put this in the state constitution to make sure that everyone is protected, the participants and the taxpayers. So I think it's a nice gesture and an opportunity for him. when we're long gone and forgotten, we need to be sure that those that follow feel no guilt or compunction to subsidize secure choice. That was its author's commitment. And addressing it now is the appropriate preventative strategy to pursue. So I respectfully, before I do that, I'd say, you're going to get a ballot measure that, comes on there free. It'll be in all the voter guide pamphlets. It'll be a great, I think, opportunity to promote this. So I think you might be missing an opportunity. The cost would be pretty small because we're already doing the voter pamphlet guide. So with that, I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
All right, so the bill's been moved. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is be adopted, but first be referred to Elections and Constitutional Amendments Committee. Pan.
No.
Pan, no. Morrell.
Aye.
Morrell, aye. Leyva. Morlock.
Aye.
Morlock, aye. Portantino.
No.
Portantino, no.
Okay, so we'll hold that on call. And with that, actually, I need to run down to quickly, so I'm going to hand the gavel over, and I believe the next bill up is item number 4, AB 1455 by Assemblymember Bocanegra. And I'm going to hand the gavel over to Senator Morrell.
Five?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
We're ready too.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and Senators. I'd like to present to you Assembly Bill 1455, which extends existing protections for sensitive documents relative to the collective bargaining process between local public agencies and its employees. Currently, under the California Public Records Act, exempts from disclosure of bargaining documents under three separate labor statutes that incorporate state employees currently. It's already in law. But specifically, this bill would extend this current exemption to activities governed by the Meyer-Milius-Brown Act, which is the statute regulating collective bargaining between local public agencies and employee representatives. Under this exemption, documents that reveal the local agency's deliberative process, impressions, evaluations, opinions, recommendations, meeting minutes, notes, research theories, strategies, and so forth would be protected. This protection would help ensure that public employee unions and public agencies are able to engage in a candid and fully informed in the collective bargaining negotiations without the potentially disruptive effects of public disclosure of ongoing negotiations. Without this parity in law, because it already exists for other bargaining units, without this parity in law, it may make it more difficult to resolve disputes regarding wages, hours, and other terms and conditions of employment between these public employees and public employee organizations. We've got some folks here to testify in support of this measure and respectfully ask for your support.
Thank you. Witnesses of support.
Good afternoon, members. My name's Adam Acosta with AFSCME Council 36 out of Los Angeles. We represent approximately 25,000 members in local government from Coronado all the way to LA County and elsewhere. As the author indicated, we're simply asking that these protections and these sensitive documents be protected as the other state employees and higher education employees enjoy and so forth. So we're simply asking that you extend those protections to miscellaneous local and county employees. So we request for your support. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and Senators. Joshua Golko with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. As the author stated, our concern is without this bill, it will make it more difficult to resolve issues at the local level, resulting in less trust and candor between the parties and prolonging the negotiation process. With that, we ask for your support.
Thank you. Other witnesses in support.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Christy Baum on behalf of the California Professional Firefighters in support.
Mr. Chair, members, Ryan Sherman with the Riverside Sheriff's Association, also in support.
Mr. Chair, Mario Guerrero with SEIU Local 1000 in support.
Thank you. Any witnesses in opposition? Okay, seeing none, questions from committee members? Seeing none, there's a motion on the bill. Secretary, please call the roll. Oh, actually, closing, yes, which is to close.
Respectfully ask for your aye vote. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. All right. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass and re-referred to Senate Judiciary Committee. Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye. Morrell.
No.
Morrell, no. Leyva. Morlock.
No.
Morlock, no. Portantino.
Aye.
Portantino, aye.
Okay, well, I'll hold that bill on call. No. Thank you. Okay. Only Assemblymember Cooper. So that's item number 2, AB 46. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators. In 2015, the legislature passed a pay equity law. You know, unfortunately, it was unclear whether it applied to the public sector. AB 46 expands California's pay equity laws to be all-encompassing and include all public employers, including the legislature. AB 46 eliminates wage disparities for public employees based on race, gender, or ethnicity. AB 46 also prohibits the use of prior salary as the sole justification for any disparity in compensation, ensuring that workers' salaries are based on the job requirements, expectations, and qualifications, not on an individual's prior earnings. Also, racial and ethnic pay disparities remain an issue. A 2013 study shows California African-American and Hispanic women earn just 64 and 44 cents, respectively, for every dollar a white man earns. Additionally, African-American men earn 75% of the average salary of white men. I believe it is critical that we lead by example and ensure that all public employees are paid fairly and equitably. This bill has received bipartisan support. There is no opposition. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Okay, thank you. Witnesses in support.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Christy Baum on behalf of the California Professional Firefighters in support.
Mr. Chairman, Mario Guerrero on behalf of SEIU Local 1000 in support.
Joshua Golka with the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees in support.
Ryan Sherman with the Riverside Sheriff's Association also in support.
Thank you. Witnesses in opposition? Seeing none, questions from committee members? Seeing none, there's a motion on the bill. I want to just thank you, Senator Cooper, for bringing this bill forward. To me, it's inappropriate that the public sector didn't lead the way, and so I'm glad that you're addressing this issue. Would you like to close?
Thank you. No, respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Okay. Secretary, please call the roll.
A motion is due pass and be referred to Senate Judiciary Committee. Pan?
Aye.
Pan? Aye. Morrell? Aye. Morrell? Aye. Leyva? Morlock?
Aye.
Morlock? Aye. Portantino?
Aye.
Portantino? Aye.
Okay. Thank you. We'll put the bill on call.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. So next item, we have two items on the consent calendar. Those are items number 5, AB 512 by Rodriguez, and item number 6, AB 679 by Cooley. Is there a motion for the consent calendar?
Move the consent calendar.
Okay. The consent calendar has been moved. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motions are due pass and re-referred to Senate Appropriations with recommendation to the consent calendar. Pan.
Aye.
Pan. Aye. Morrell.
Aye.
Morrell, aye. Leyva, Morlock.
Aye.
Morlock, aye. Portantino.
Aye.
Portantino, aye.
Okay, so the consent calendar will be put on call. So we just await Senator Leyva. Otherwise, we have completed our business for now. Oh, yes, actually, we do have an item on call. Let's see. I think. Okay, so that's. Let's go ahead and bring up item number 3, AB 83 by Santiago. Senator Santiago, Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass and re-referred to Senate Judiciary Committee. The current vote is 2-1. Morrell?
No.
Morrell? Morrell, no.
We'll put that item back on call. Okay. And I think you've got everyone covered. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So, Sergeant, I know you've probably done it already, but okay. Thank you.
in my white.
You look really good in white.
Well, thank you, Dr. Pan. You're very kind.
Okay, so let's go ahead and we'll take the bills off on call. So we'll start with item number one, SCA 1 by Morlach. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is be adopted, but first refer to Elections Constitutional Amendments Committee. The current vote is 2-2. Maliva?
No.
Maliva, no.
Okay, so that bill fails 3-2. And is there a motion for reconsideration?
Yes.
All right. So we will grant reconsideration. Oh, I can't. I'm in the call. We don't have
people here. Okay. Just
okay. Okay.
But I would wholeheartedly support it.
Yes. Okay. All right. Okay. I would grant the courtesy of the committee, but I'm told I have to get a roll call. Okay. All right. So, okay. Well, that fails 3-2. Okay. Next item is item number 2, AB 46 by Cooper. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is do pass and re-refer to Senate Judiciary Committee, The current vote is 4-0. Leva?
Aye.
Leva, aye.
Okay, that bill is out, 5-0. Next item is item number 3, AB 83 by Santiago. Secretary, please call the roll.
Motion is do pass and re-refer to Senate Judiciary Committee. The current vote is 2-2. Leva?
Aye.
Leva, aye.
Okay, that bill is out 3-2. Next item is item number 4, AB 1455 by Bocanegra. Secretary, please call the roll, recommending I vote.
The motion is do pass and re-refer to Senate Judiciary Committee. The current vote is 2-2. Leva?
Aye.
Leva, aye.
Okay, so that's out 3-2. And finally, we have the consent calendars. Those are items AB 512 by Rodriguez and item number 6, AB 679 by Cooley. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is do pass and re-refer to Senate Appropriations Committee with recommendations to the consent calendar. The current vote is 4-0. Leva?
Aye.
Leva, aye.
Okay, the consent calendar is out 5-0. And with that, we have completed the agenda for this hearing, and we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.